First, I want to say that this shiur has all the shiurim before Yontif, and this is a shiur that's been given before Pesach. You may have noticed it is donated by the family of Dr. Jack Feldman, Zichrono Livracha, who I've said often, I remember very fondly. He was a good person who was interested in the future of the Jewish people, and especially the education that's necessary for that future. We all applaud him for that. Okay, here we are. Here we are. We know that the child who is sort of like could be considered the central personality in the Seder is he asked these four questions. And it's important for us to recognize the fact that these four questions are not all the same. The first question, why is it that on this night, the night of Pesach, or on Pesach, we eat chametz and matzah, and tonight we just eat matzah? Now, we know very well that hidden behind that question is the fact, yes, we eat matzah, and I think more or less we know why we eat matzah. Eating matzah helps us to tell the story. Like, I mean, we know that when they left Mitzrayim, they ate matzah. The Torah says they didn't have time to do anything else. Matzah is done faster than bread. So they made matzah. Why did the Torah command us to eat matzah? Why did the Torah command us to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, on the night of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? Well, because when you act it out, when you're involved, I mean, you're like an actor in a play. It's happening. It didn't just happen. It's not just a story. It's a real. It's really happening. In some manner, I agree, it's not the same for everybody, and it depends on the effort that you make and what you put into it, but it could be. Everybody's had that experience of reading something wonderful and feeling it and being involved with it. And if you haven't had that experience, look forward. It'll be great. So the first question has two parts to it. The first part is, why do we eat matzah? I mean, those of us who were at a Seder last year probably could conjure up an answer to the question. I mean, you could, of course, answer the question with greater depth, insight. But the answer to the question is fairly well known and is actually in the psukim in the Torah. In the psukim in the Torah. But when it comes to chametz, it's not at all obvious. I mean, the Torah has really come down hard on chametz. You shouldn't see it, you shouldn't have it, you shouldn't know it's there. It does, it's not a real chametz is not batel. It doesn't disappear in a large quantity. It's really off the record, and it goes for 7 days. Matzah, I don't have to eat 7 days of matzah. I mean, I can avoid eating matzah. I mean, okay, the position of the Gaon, who said that even if you eat matzah during the week of Pesach, you're also fulfilling a kind of a mitzvah, and he proved it by checking the psukim. But when it comes to chametz, no respite. Don't go near it. Don't let it come near to you. Take care of it. Make sure the children don't do things that they shouldn't do, because it affects everybody and implies everything. And we've created unbelievable chumras that connect to chametz. Unbelievable. You have heard of kitniot. I mean, the important thing to remember about kitniot is that they are not chametz. And even though they're not chametz, it's kind of become universal. I mean, when I was a kid, there were still a lot of people who didn't, who would break matzah into their soup, who would eat certain kinds of oils, who would use the oils in order to cook and bake on Pesach. Today it's all gone. Not all. But I know that if I want to make matzah brei in my house, I have to shut the curtains because I don't want anybody to see. It's really remarkable how tough we are on chametz. How unclear it is why we're so, what that has to do with Yitziat Mitzrayim. I mean, Yitziat Mitzrayim, they wanted to make bread, but they couldn't. They wanted to use chametz, but they couldn't. So chametz is a kind of a real mystery. And it doesn't, I don't recall that in the Haggadah, the essence of chametz and the explanation of the prohibition against chametz is really cleared up. I know about slavery, and I know about yitziah, to go out of the slavery. I know what it means. I mean, I may not know it on a profound level, but I've got the idea. Slavery and freedom. Lack of God's watchfulness, and suddenly God takes care of the situation. So what is this business of chametz? So since we started talking about chametz, we have to bring in another topic that's connected to chametz, and that's the Korban Todah. Korban Todah, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Every person can feel the need at some point in his life or something that happened to feel that need to thank God. And the Torah tells us how you thank God. You bring a Korban Hashem, you bring a real sacrifice, and the Korban is designated as a Todah, as a thanksgiving offering. And this is stated in the beginning of Vayikra, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You see it on the board. And the Pasuk says, Kol ha-mincha she-takrivu la-Shem. Mincha, a mincha is a meal offering. Like you make a kugel in a frying pan. Who does that? The people who can't afford to bring animals. The Torah said they also have to have access to the process. They have to accept, we have to accept their needs, and we have to support them and make it possible for them to give this korban. So the pasuk says, Kol ha-mincha she-takrivu la-Shem, lo te'aseh chametz. Lo te'aseh chametz, which means you can't have chametz in it at all. Well, why not? Why not? What does the chametz do? It makes it more edible. It gets everything glued together. It makes it into like a pie. He said, lo te'aseh chametz. No chametz should be involved in this korban, the korban that's called the korban todah. He calls Seor. Seor is a general word which implies something that is machmitz, that does the or encourages the process, which is the process called chametz. You know, making the bread rises. That's called chametz. He calls Seor, we call Devash, lo taktir bimenu ishal Hashem, because Seor, which is in this case a synonym for chametz, we call dvash. We'll see in a minute. Dvash is honey. Lo taktiru menu yishel Hashem. No chametz. No chametz. Rashi says a chol dvash, kol metikat pri kruya dvash. The dvash doesn't mean honey. You know, honey itself is a problem. How is it that we got to the point where we can eat bees' honey? And we know there's a principle that yotzei min ha-tameh is tameh, that something that comes out of a non-kosher source remains also non-kosher. Okay. So Rashi says, we're not talking about honey. We're talking about anything that makes it sweet. Anything pre, kol mitikut pri kuyad dvash. So the pasuk says, v'chol dvash lo taktiru bimenu. Don't use dvash, don't use the fruit, don't make it taste better. Okay? So we have a mystery compounded. And the compound mystery is, well, Pesach, we don't need chametz, we don't know why. But it's definitely something that is looked down upon by the Torah. And here in the beginning of Vayikra, in the beginning of Vayikra, we learn that you can't use chametz, sa'or, in a mincha sacrifice. This is further buttressed by the psukim in Vayikra Perek Vav. You see Vayikra Perek Vav, it should be on your screen. Let's go through these psukim. V'zot Torata Mincha, this is these are the regulations that are connected to the Mincha sacrifice. Mincha is a meal offering. Akrev ota b'nei Aaron b'nei Hashem, the sons of Aaron, it's their job to bring it lifnei Hashem, before God, el p'nei ha-mizbeach, to the mizbeach. Okay? Pasuk chet, ve'irim imenu b'kumtso misolet ha-mincha u'mishamna, ve'et kol ha-lebona asher al ha-mincha, v'ktir ha-mizbeach. There's a certain process in giving this korban. You have a large amount on a machavat.
How do you know she's coming?
Huh? A certain amount on.
I don't know if the children clocked that. I didn't hear anything about it.
No, I'm just wondering.
There's a what?
About turning the clock.
I haven't read anything about it.
Oh, someone told me out there. I think the makeup lady said that they're changing the clock.
Rabbi, you're okay. We lost you for about a minute.
I think I'm okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like you're okay now.
Yeah. Okay. So here again, the Torah emphasizes the fact: Lo teafech chametz, chatam natati otam eishai kodesh kadoshim hi kechatatu chasham. That this poverty, this poor korban is worth the same as a regular chatat and an asham. Finally, the last pasuk calls zechar b'nei Aaron yochalena chok olam l'dor atechem v'yishe Hashem kol sheyiga b'hem yikdash, that this is a korban that belongs to the entire family, of the Kohanim. So we look at the Rashi on Pasuk Yud. Right, the Rashi on Pasuk Yud. You know. Lo tefech chametz chelkam. No chametz, that's what the Pasuk says. Achashiraim asurim b'chametz. Even what's left over can't be eaten with chametz. Kachatatu chasham. Okay, Rashi says what he says. Now, if you remember, where's the pasuk? Here it is. If you remember, Perikav Gibel Pasuk Tetvav. Remember that there's a mitzvah coming up called Svirata Omer. And we start the counting of the Omer. It's important to recognize this. We start counting the Omer on the evening after the first day of Pesach. We count the Omer for 50 days. That's what the Torah says. You count the Omer 50 days, and after 50 days, Shavuot. Now, originally, in the Torah, there is no mention of a connection between Shavuot and Matan Torah. It's true that the Gemara makes a cheshbon that the day of Matan Torah was Vav Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan. But this is not written in the Torah. It's not written in the Torah that that's a holiday called Matan Torah. That's something that we did. We intuited it. We understood that the Matan Torah needed a holiday. And we made one. And we hooked it up with Shavuot. And Shavuot, the mitzvah of Shavuot in the Torah is bringing the korban of Shtei Alechem, which the psukim will indicate in a second. So the mitzvah is Usfarta Lechem Mocharat Shabbat. You know, Mocharat Shabbat is problematic. Those words are problematic. And the Karaites explain those words as being the day after the first Shabbat of Pesach. So the first Shabbat of Pesach could be the first day or the second day or the fourth day or the fifth day, right? It's a week. Pesach is a week, so that the Shabbat of Pesach can be any day of the week. It can even be, right? Means Mocharata Shabbat, means the day after Shabbat. That's when you start counting the Omer. Our tradition is that Mocharata Shabbat means after the first day of Pesach. Rashi says Mocharata Shabbat. Rashi says without a problem, Mocharata Yom Tov. That you start counting the day after Yom Tov. So this year, Motzei Shabbat, you have a Seder. And Motzei Sunday, you start counting Svirat HaOmer. That's how we do it. We further have managed to arrange it so that the 50th day, which is the day of Shavuot, always comes out on Vav Sivan. It was when we made a calendar, and we adjusted the calendar in a way that enabled the 50th day of Svirat HaOmer, which was also the day of Shavuot, to come out always on Vav Sivan. And Vav Sivan was the day that we understood that that we received the communication of Torah at Har Sinai. So in this pasuk, which discusses the mitzvah of Svirat HaOmer, pasuk Yud Zayin, mi moshvoteichem, the places that you happen to be, Taviyu lechem tenufa shtayim, you bring two lechamim, two breads, shnei esronim, a certain weight, solet, clean flour, tiyena, chametz teyafeda bikurim lashem. What is all of that? What is all of that? So we look at pasuk Yud Zayin in Rashi. Mimoshvoteichem, Rashi says, the places that you live, Rashi says, v'lo michutz la'aretz, not outside of Eretz Yisrael, but this is a mitzvah that's connected to Eretz Yisrael and the Beit HaMikdash. Lechem tenufa, lechem truma, lechem that is given as a contribution to be raised up to the Beit HaMikdash. V'zoya mincha chadasha, and this is the new mincha that is brought on Shavuot. So on Shavuot you bring something new. And that's something new, that bread that you bring that is new. I mean, we all know that there's a Neser of Chodosh, and that's related to what the Pesukim are talking about. But it says, especially the interest that we have at the moment is that the Pesuk says, Shneizun Solet Yena, Chameitz Teyafena. And it was this korban of Shtei Alechem, is a korban of chametz. You're not worried. Chametz is allowed, even though the pasuk that we saw at the beginning of Vayikra, kol hamincha, asher tagriv l'Hashem, kol hamincha means every meal offering. Everything which might have chametz in it, the pasuk says, lo teyaseh chametz. And then it gives a reason, which we don't quite understand, but he gives a reason, called dvash, lo taktiru bimenu, anything that makes it into chametz, so'or, lo taktiru bimenu, ishel Hashem. Don't even use it as a korban. Don't use it as a korban. So on Pesach, we're very, very chamur for a week. We're very, very determined to get rid of the chametz, to not let the chametz invade our four cubits, our dalet amos. It's really something overwhelming how careful we have to be to get rid of the chametz. That's why we clean so much. That's why we're so worried about how the various things we buy, the food products we buy, are made. All of these things come thousands of years of care. Thousands of years. And when we look in the Torah, we see, first of all, in the beginning of Vayikra, that this position, an anti-chametz position, is carried on with a mincha sacrifice. It's like we say, the mincha sacrifice, no chametz. The mincha sacrifice is like Pesach. It's like Pesach. And then we know that Pesach is connected somehow to what we call Shavuot. And the Torah calls it Shavuot. I mean, is that there's like some sort of they reference each other. To get from Pesach to Shavuot, you have to count. With counting is called Sfirat Omer. We count from the bringing of Omer, which is a measure of a korban, a meal offering that we bring on the second day of Pesach, to the Shtei Alechem that we bring on Shavuot. So this connects us, and it means that somehow, I would say, I mean, the mashal, the analogy here is that somehow the prohibition against chametz, which is alive and well and very active on Pesach, when we bring the korban ha'omer, we bring a korban on the second day of Pesach, is connected to Shavuot, right? The omer connects us. I mean, however it is, we're counting days, and we know that when we get to 50, that's Shavuos. The korban we bring on Pesach, the prohibition against chametz is enforced by the time we get to Shavuot. It's disappeared. And we bring the korban of Shtei Alechem with chametz. Now, how is that? I mean, how could I understand possibly that the beginning of Vayikra, there's a general statement against chametz? And in Perek Chav Gimel, there's a statement about Sirat HaOmer bringing the Shtei Alechem with chametz. So if we take, I would say, like what I would like to do is take the psukim in Vayikra, the reference to Vayikra, in Vayikra, as being the basic attitude somehow. It seems to indicate that chametz is a bad thing, but it can be modified. The bad can be reduced. I mean, I don't know if you can get rid of it, of the bad, but you could reduce it somehow and make it more appropriate. After all, korbanot are the place in which we are closest to God. At least in theory. I mean, today, maybe it's different because there is no Beit HaMikdash, but at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it was considered to be the place where we are closest to God. So, of course, if there's something wrong with chametz, you wouldn't find that an appropriate place. And what would happen is, you would imagine, that the chametz, which is not appropriate for the Beit HaMikdash on Pesach, should not be appropriate for the Beit HaMikdash on Shavuot. But we see that the Torah is sending us a different message. And that message is that chametz is not appropriate, but that the inappropriate nature of chametz can be modified. What modifies it? 50 days of counting. 50 days in which each day became more important than it was, in which each day became a day of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you have days of devotion, it may be that the culmination of those days, or it sounds to me like a reasonable idea, that the culmination of those days results in a modified position about chametz. Now, this all assumes that the idea of chametz was a mashal. It wasn't chametz. It was what chametz stands for. And somehow, you know, that there was general agreement, and that's found in this Ramban that I had, which we will see if we have time for. That somehow chametz represents something bad. So the Medrash says, and we saw last week that the HaMekdavar at the beginning of Vayikra also says that there is this idea that is a bad idea, that we can refashion the world. We can make things that were not there in creation. I don't know about which things we're talking about, whether we're talking about a cell phone or we're talking about flowers that didn't exist when the world was created. What exactly we're talking about, I don't know. But the idea has appeal. It appeal like you inherit a world, and the world was created by God. So you should try to maintain that world and not make a new world. Don't make a new world. Since chametz represents making a new world, this is in the Ramban. and also repeated in some way by the Hamek Davor, by the Netziv. Don't make a new world. Don't make something in the world. Chametz represents this power to change things. Like it left on its own, you'd always make a matzah. But you don't want to eat a matzah all the time. You want to eat bread, so you do something to it. You take the flour and you knead it with water. Then you put something in it which makes it into bread. Which makes it into bread. So this, according to the Chachamim, became the model for doing the wrong thing. Chametz equals the wrong thing. The wrong thing is sometimes called Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is like my inclination. I have an inclination to do things like, if I'm hungry, I mean, the two examples that everybody understands very well, the Ramban quotes these examples in the Midrashim, is like the fact that you want to eat is not a bad thing. I mean, Hashem created the world and ordered us to live in it, not to commit hari-kari. We're supposed to live in the world, so how do we live in the world? By eating. I mean, it keeps up. Okay. So the Chachamim said, yeah, but eating could be a bad thing. You could overeat. You could eat things you shouldn't eat. You should create a world of lack of health and welfare just by eating. Just because it's mutter to eat doesn't mean that you don't have to think about how to do it. That's what the Ramban says at the beginning of the Parash of Kedoshim. Novel Bishus HaTorah said, the Torah doesn't say you can't eat. The Torah doesn't say you can't have sexual encounters. But the Torah thinks, or seems to indicate, it's also the Mesillas Yesharim. I mean, all the different sources talk about this. It's just that I think that none of these things are bad. But they are things that demand my consideration and concern. You can't just do anything you want. You can't just act irresponsibly, but you have to be responsible. Now, that irresponsible element in us is what we call chametz. Chametz, it's like, says, let me do it differently. Let me make a different world. Let me have a different idea. Right? You know that there are all sorts of strange ideas in the world. In the world. So what Sfirat HaOmer says, is, well, look, you know, you may not be able to get rid of the Yetzer Hara, but you might be able to hold it in check. Right? The Yetzer Hara, I don't mean that you're going to find him, the Yetzer Hara. I'm just mean that's how we are. We're not always committed to doing the reasonable, the right. But sometimes we say, it won't bother me. I'll get away with it. And that's a problem. It's an ongoing problem, as the Baal HaTanya saw and spoke about at length. So there's a connection. There's a connection between Pesach and Shavuot. That connection is called Sfirat HaOmer. And that connection teaches us that if you have enough investment, you could bring the Yetzer Hara into a limited but real control. And you could have Matan Torah. It was Sfirat HaOmer that enabled the Chachamim to say, let's make this the day. Let's celebrate Matan Torah. Even though there was no such celebration in the Torah. Because the Torah apparently wanted to be able to say they understand it. They understand that you can't have Matan Torah if you don't get the Yetzer Hara under some sort of control. And even if that control is not permanent, even after Shavuot, you go back to the halacha that says you can't have chametz. Can't have chametz on any korban. Okay. The ups and downs. It's not always easy to change yourself in a permanent way. But it may be that there's an ongoing struggle which gets better and might, Rachmana litzlan, get worse. So the Yetzer Hara, which is represented by Chametz, is brought under control through Sfirat HaOmer, and as a result of which, Chametz loses that attachment to the Yetzer Hara and can be brought as a Korban. Chametz is also something created by God. But the Chametz loses its connection to Yetzer Hara, and the whole world changed at the time of Shavuos, and the acceptance of the Torah becomes a true option. So what does it mean? What does all of that mean for Pesach? I think we know that Chazal have already said that the Jews in Mitzrayim suffered. I mean, that may be one of the reasons that God put them into Mitzrayim. They suffered from their association with the Egyptians. The Egyptians called out the Yetzer Hara. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to get the Torah, it apparently was not helpful enough. And the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael to an unworthy community, in the hope that the Torah would improve that. But we know that after Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, went up on the mountain to get the Luchot, they built the golden calf. And the golden calf, as you should understand, was the, as Chazal say, was the result of the influence of the Erev Rav, the Egyptians who came along with the Jews. And you see, at Mitzrayim, remember, the Jews were Bali Chesed. They learned what Chesed from Avraham Avinu. But you have to protect yourself. If you take people into your house who you don't know, you have to make sure they don't influence your children. I mean, it's a difficult thing, but it's something that is necessary. So we tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And at the end of telling the story, we say, and we were there. We were also in that story. We also left Mitzrayim. We also are the ones. We are those people. We're those people. So even though we were not completely at home with our new position as being representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not so completely at home with the fact that the Yetzer Hara oppresses us all the time, that we it takes an effort. It takes a major effort. So Pesach became the holiday that leaves us with a challenge, and that challenge is called chametz. And by getting rid of the chametz, by cleaning the house, by getting rid of the chametz, by eating food that doesn't have any chametz, and all of that sets me to thinking about how I could live a more noble life, how I could perhaps live in a world where I wouldn't have to say that the chametz is forbidden. I would be able to say, I have no interest in the chametz at all. So again, the attitude of the Torah in the beginning of Vayikra, Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, telling us that You can't have chametz as part of a korban mincha. And then the apostle telling us that if we connect Pesach to Shavuot through the Sfirat HaOmer, we'll be able to bring the korban called Shtei Alechem with chametz. And so we see that for Pesach, we have to recognize the fact that the story doesn't end. The story doesn't end, and maybe saying at the end, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, makes sense, because that's the story. The story of Pesach is a story that goes on. That's just starting. Wherever you're sitting, wherever you're talking, it just goes on. So I wish you all Chag Kasher v'Sameach, all the best to you. We'll continue again after Pesach. Yom Yetzer Hashem. All the best. Be well.
Chag Sameach. Thanks, Rabbi.
All the best. Be well.